When Albert Kukesh, an Angoon Democrat, and three friends were cited in July of 2009 for overfishing their subsistence permits in Kanalshku Bay near Angoon, the senator appeared ready to make a Katie John-style constitutional argument questioning the state's authority to manage subsistence on federal lands. Angoon is situated on Admiralty Island, a national monument. Kukesh told KCAW in 2009 that he thought he'd end up paying the state's $500 fine, but he also thought the case was headed for federal court. Dual management, or the state's enforcement of federal subsistence authority, has been the de facto system of subsistence management since the legislature in the 1980s and 90s failed to pass an amendment to the state constitution and reconcile state and federal law. Kukesh thought he was in the right for several reasons, most importantly that the state had crossed the line when it sent a trooper onto federal lands to cite him for overfishing sockeye salmon in a beach seine.
I also think there's a public process argument about if you wanted to manage fish and game on federal lands, then you should have adopted a constitutional amendment when we had the opportunity.
But Sitka Superior Court Judge David George, acting as magistrate in Angoon District Court, touched on none of that when he dismissed charges against Kukesh and two of the men involved. A third, Scott Hunter, still faces a violation for fishing without a permit. Instead, George's 16-page dismissal focuses exclusively on state law, especially the Administrative Procedures Act, which he wrote, quote, requires that notice of the proposed adoption of a regulation be published and disseminated 30 days before adoption, close quote. The state gave no such notice in 2006 when it reduced the catch limit for Kanalshku subsistence sockeye from 25 to 15 fish. Hence, Judge George ruled that the limit could not form the basis for prosecution in this case.
We think that we followed the correct procedure in the delegation that the Board of Fisheries gave us to set those types of limits.
That's Denby Lloyd, the outgoing commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. In most, if not all, subsistence fisheries in southeast Alaska, participants don't learn the catch limit for a particular area until they pick up their permits. In Sitka, for instance, the catch limit for sockeye at Redoubt Lake is set every year with no public participation, nor are there hearings for Salmon Lake or Clag Bay. Lloyd says the district court's interpretation of the Kukesh case could create a procedural snarl for the state that the Board of Fisheries process can't handle.
There are a number of subsistence fisheries, particularly throughout Southeast, that are managed with these types of harvest limits set under permit conditions, and that allows the department to tailor those limits to biological conditions in any particular year. So if in the end it's decided that we can't operate that way, then we will have to have much, much more engaged discussions with the Board of Fisheries, and I'm not sure that the system can effectively handle that kind of load.
Prosecutor Doug Gardner says the state respects George's ruling, but his motion for reconsideration makes clear that he believes the judge overlooked a couple of important points of law, especially the statutory authority of the Board of Fisheries to set catch limits. What George interpreted as setting subsistence bag limits in a back room, Gardner and the state see as a delegation of the board's authority to manage, protect, maintain, improve, and extend the fish resources of the state. Clearly, there are some big questions surrounding this case, which, after all, is not a crime. Kukesh's violation is basically a ticket from the state police. Gardner says the motion for dismissal is a routine way to clarify a case for a judge and is not necessarily a prelude to an appeal.
There are a number of different regulations and statutes that we believe we want to make sure that the courts had an opportunity to review in the context of making the decision. So we'll await the outcome of whether or not the court decides to reconsider or not. I don't think there's more than meets the eye. We're just trying to make sure that our record is made and that the court has a full and fair opportunity to consider any last-minute things that might have an impact on the court's decision.
Commissioner Lloyd, however, says ADF&G, which has filed an amicus brief, will move the case to appellate court if necessary.
But we're recommending at this time that it be appealed, and Department of Law is going through that review.
Judge George has 30 days to rule on the motion for reconsideration. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.